Number 1. When Jax first appears on screen, we see he already has his tail back. However, it's never mentioned during the episode, leaving it a complete mystery as to how he recovered it. Number 2. Among the weapons Kane offers the group, one stands out for being far more futuristic than the rest. It's none other than the railgun Yuuzhi Dorman designed to kill the murder drones. Is this just a reference, or perhaps a hidden connection? Number 3. After Jax has his anxiety attack, we can see the words "chill fella" form in the condensation on the mirror. Many interpret this as an external entity sending a message to Jax, knowing he was on the verge of abstraction, while others believe it's Jax's own thoughts manifesting on the mirror. Number 4. Following the previous point, some fans initially thought the message said "Chill Felix," suggesting Jack's real name might be Felix. However, the shape of the supposed eye more closely resembles another L. Number 5. After leaving the bathroom, Jax can be seen walking in the same distinct way he does during the end credit sequence. Number 6. When Zubul gets angry and asks Kane if he wants to know what she really wants, she blurts out that she'd like to have sex. What's interesting is that in the novel the show draws inspiration from, "I have no mouth and I must scream," the characters did engage in sexual relations, but the context was far from pleasant. Number 7. In the original English version, the word "sex" was bleeped out. However, this censorship wasn't applied in many of the international dubs. Number 8. At the beginning of the episode, Kane announces that the Favorite Character Awards will be held at the end. This was a real event where fans could vote for their favorite character on Kane's official Wacky Watch website, with the results promised to be revealed in this episode. Number 9. This episode confirms why Pommy gave her turn to Ragatha in the softball game. She simply isn't a fan of sports and isn't enthusiastic about participating in it. Number 10. This is the episode where we see Kane glitch out and express more negative emotions or reactions than ever before, all triggered by Zubul's complaints and demands. For instance, when she mentions sex, he begins to glitch until he practically reboots. The more they complain, the more fed up he gets. Number 11. Adding to the previous point, this adventure was supposed to be one of the shortest yet, a simple trust-building exercise, but when Jax just shot Ragatha instead, Kane completely changed the game, declaring he didn't care anymore. This was likely because the cast hadn't accepted one of his adventures for a while, and seeing them do whatever they wanted, even after he toned it down, shattered his self-esteem. Number 12. I say Kane has self-esteem because at the end of the episode, we see that no one voted for him, not even a single vote. Ironically, this mirrors the real-world Wacky Watch poll where he also came in last. Upon discovering this, he glitches out again, ending the episode. Number 13. It's a small detail, but the way Kane's eyes change colors is very similar to the cover of the book I Have No Mouth and I Am a Scream, where the face on the cover also has one blue and one red eye. This has led many to speculate that Kane will become a cold, cruel AI like M, the main antagonist of the book. Number 14. When Jax asks Kane for the instructions because he wasn't paying attention, Kane grabs Jax's head to force him to see them. The scene is very similar to when Vision uses his powers to force Ultron off the network in Avengers Age of Ultron, and has already inspired several memes. Number 15. For this adventure, the cast was split into three duos: Team Unmasked, Gangle and Zubul, Team Pew Pew, Ragathai and Kinger, and Team Bad Guys, Pomni and Jax. During the episode's promotion, you could vote for your favorite team on the Wacky Watch website. Number 16. The promotional art for Team Bad Guys showed Pomni holding an ear of corn. The only reference to this in the episode is when Pomni asks Jax why he's afraid of corn. He replies that its appearance disgusts him, looking like a cluster of small holes, leading Pomni to suggest he has trypophobia. Number 17. When the teens leave Kane alone, he pulls out some photographs. Fans initially thought these would be related to a teaser showing photos of the circus members, but they were actually pictures of the CNA offices. How Kane got them and why he's looking at them remains a mystery. Number 18. Speaking of CNA, Kane and Abel, has anyone else noticed that the name Abel sounds very similar to Bubble? Number 19. As a final hint about the company in this episode, some of the weapons, specifically the ones used by Jax and Pomni, are branded with the CNA company name. Number 20. Bubble acts as the cameraman in this episode, though he can barely stay afloat because the camera's so heavy. Interestingly, the brand on the camera, GSJ, is different from the CNA logo. The meaning of these letters is currently unknown. Number 21. In this episode, Kinger creates a golden butterfly out of thin air to help Ragatha recover the health she lost when Jax shot her. When Ragatha asks how he did it, he simply says he made it. This left many fans puzzled, and it's clear that Kinger is still hiding many secrets about the digital circus. Number 22. It's implied that his wife helped him learn how to create these bugs. While one might think of insect bugs, he's actually referring to system bugs or glitches that allow him to create objects. Number 23. When Jax is alone with Pomni, he explains his perspective on life in the circus. He says that while you arrive as a human, the best thing to do is accept the architect the digital world assigns you and just be a cartoon character. This explains why Jax frequently breaks the fourth wall, maintains a consistent personality, and hides his private life he has left it behind to fully embrace his cartoon persona. Number 24. As Jax describes each member's archetype, we see the opposite side of them throughout the episode. He calls Ragatha the optimist, but her optimism is at an all-time low. He calls Gangle the sad one, but we see her wildest side. He calls Kinger the crazy one, but we again see his wise and conscious side. He calls Zubul the grouch, but she's very level-headed. And Jax describes himself as the funny one, yet in this episode, he nearly loses his sanity and almost abstracts. Number 25. Pomni agrees to adopt a cartoon archetype like Jax, taking on the role of the evil one, calling herself Pomni the Evil, not to be confused with Evil Pomni. This is ironic because following the logic of the previous point, she is anything but evil in this episode. Number 26. During Kinger's super ricochet attack, all the bullets end up hitting him. He was so OP that he decided to just take himself out. Number 27. As Ragatha vents her frustrations, she says she feels like she failed Pomni, just as she failed Jax. This reveals a new side to their story, suggesting there was a time when Jax and Ragatha got along better. For some reason, perhaps because of what happened with an abstracted character named Kaufmo, Jax decided to distance himself from and even hate Ragatha. It's speculated this relates to his line about "I love you" losing its meaning if said too often, hinting he grew tired of what he perceived as Ragatha's insincerity. Number 28. As the conversation continues, Kinger mentions that he used to hate himself for things he felt responsible for, causing him to lose everything. This line could be interpreted in many ways, with the cruelest being that he feels guilty for his wife's abstraction. He adds that his perspective changed completely when Ragatha arrived at the circus. Number 29. When Zubul talks to Gangle, Gangle asks, "How do you love a part of yourself that makes you worse than everyone else?" Zubul replies, "Because that part is real, and all that matters is that you love yourself for who you are, even if it doesn't make sense." This is interesting because in previous episodes, we've seen Zubul feel uncomfortable with their body, constantly searching for the right parts. It seems their perspective may have shifted. Number 30. When Pomni headshots Gangle, her comedy mask breaks. However, the tragedy mask underneath appears completely different, now looking much more cheerful in contrast to its previous design. Number 31. As Zubul hides in her room to gear up, Jax and Pomni start singing Daisy Bell. Zubul mentioned earlier that Kane strangely sings this song to her when she's in her room, so they do it just to annoy her. Number 32. The shot of Zubul holding four weapons looks a lot like a similar pose by Angel Dust from Hazbin Hotel, don't you think? Number 33. Pomni must have taken the being a cartoon character advice to heart, because she manages to completely disassemble Zubul and knock her down with a single bullet. Deadpool needed 12 bullets to take out all of Francis's goons. Pomni did it with one. Number 34. When Ragatha places her finger over the muzzle of Jax's gun just before he fires, it triggers the classic cartoon effect, like in Looney Tunes. The barrel gets blocked and the explosion backfires, harming the user while leaving the other person completely unscathed. Number 35. When Zubul says goodbye, her original line is "see you on the flip side." In the Spanish dub, this was changed to a Terminator reference. Hasta la vista, baby. Number 36. Before Jax goes with Pomni to finish off Zubul, he glances at Kaufmo's door with a frown and a hint of anger. But when he looks at another character's door, he seems stunned, with his pupils shrinking, before snapping out of it. This is a typical reaction for Jax when he's trying to suppress his more sentimental side. Number 37. When they win, Pomni excitedly hugs Jax, but he pushes her away the moment he realizes what's happening. Pomni seems to understand. After she turns away, Jax stares at his hand, almost in the same way he looked at the door earlier, as if he's unsure of his own actions. Number 38. In a Q&A, Gooseworks confirmed that Pomni dislikes physical contact, especially hugs. Knowing this makes this seem even more impactful. Number 39. In another Q&A, a fan asked when Jax last received the hug. Gooseworks replied, "Probably a very long time ago," which makes the rejection scene even more heartbreaking. Number 40. When they start arguing, Jax misinterprets Pomni's concern as a romantic confession. He sarcastically remarks that people would love a token hetero couple, a nod to them being the most popular ship in the fandom. Number 41. When Pomni asks Jax if he ever considered that his attitude might be causing others to abstract, he loses control. He retorts how could she blame him for something they all did to themselves. He says she has no right to an opinion since she didn't know them, and that for him, living with them was unbearable. This implies that as characters get closer to abstraction, they become erratic and difficult, and Jax is now heading down that same path. Number 42. Although Jax tries to push everyone away by cutting ties in the most painful ways possible, if you pay close attention to his expression, you can see he doesn't believe his own words. He's forcing himself to be inhuman so much that the truth slips out, especially when he resorts to swearing, which is uncharacteristic for him. He doesn't want to be this way, but he's making it clear that what little humanity he had left is gone. Number 43. At the Favorite Character Award ceremony, Jax sits apart from the others looking anxious and on the verge of tears. This is followed by the scene where he almost abstracts before managing to calm himself down. Immediately after, he looks in the mirror and tells himself, "God, you're an asshole." He's aware of his actions but would rather pretend not to care than feel the pain of losing his only friend again, even if he was briefly open to letting Pomni fill that void. Number 44. Even though Pomni has every right to hate him, she still seems to feel some pity for him, leaving the door open for her to try and help him again. Honestly though, it might be better if Kingar has a talk with him. Number 45. On Twitter, Jax's voice actor Michael Kovich thanked fans for their praise of his performance. Gooseworth replied that it's incredible because his best stuff as the character hasn't even been shown yet, hinting that what's to come for Jax will be even more intense. Number 46. When the winner of the Favorite Character Awards is announced, Kane mistakenly thinks that he won because he read the name as me. The actual winner was Ming, an NPC Kane created as a punchline at the start of the episode. Ming then comes on stage and says Kane to error made them both look ridiculous. Number 47. It appears the intended winner was actually Kingar, which is funny because the real world fan poll was a tight race between Jax and Pomni. Number 48. A plush toy of Pomni dressed as Jax was released. Curiously, it looks as if Pomni crawled inside Jax and is wearing him like a suit, similar to when Finn wears Jake as armor in Adventure Time. A short animation made to promote the plush confirmed this concept. Number 49. Even though Jax and Pomni's relationship took a hit in this episode, that didn't stop Glitch from pairing them up for merchandise. So, thanks for thinking of the funny bunny shippers, Glitch. Number 50. Despite its 30-minute runtime, the episode was released faster than expected. Gooseworks confirmed in a live stream that they are focusing 100% on Digital Circus before moving on to their other project, Gaslight District. Extra fact, in the scene where Pomni and Jax are walking before they encounter Zubul, there's no dialogue in the original version. However, the Spanish dub invented a short conversation for this part. Extra fact 2. In a promotional image, Jax is seen discarding a photo of himself and Pomni from the adventure. However, he doesn't crumple it. Typically, in scenes depicting a broken friendship, the character would crush the photo. The fact that Jax just drops it might suggest something more complex.